Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast. I hope you're all doing well today. Today, we have a special guest on the show, someone I've been looking forward to joining us. We're joined by Manisha Singh, who's the Global Director of People Analytics and Digital HR Innovation at Schneider Electric. Manisha, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm coping well.
As well as you can during this day. Where are you at the moment? Where are you based? You're in the US, right?
I live in Greater Boston, Andover, and I'm dialing in from there.
Are you home with family? What is your current setup at the moment?
Yes, me and my husband are both working, and I have two boys, 12 and 8. So we are all home together now, 7.5 weeks down into the stay-in-home mode and working from here. We're all learning to work together, to coexist peacefully as much as we can.
I know how that feels. Don't worry. I know how that feels. Before we jump in, Manisha, tell everyone a little bit more about yourself personally. Obviously, you just shared a little bit there, but your journey career-wise to where we are today.
So I have I have an interesting career journey. I didn't prepare to be HR, did my chemical engineering and prepared to be a chemist somewhere. Joined an automobile company on the shop floor, worked 2 years and looked at the productivity, quality, business KPIs. And I realized in my young mind, I made a decision that the single most important factor which can make it succeed is people. So the science of how to engage and motivate people, all grown-up adults, which HR was trying to do, really fascinated me. And I walked up to my factory HR head and convinced him to take me in HR. And that's where my journey started. And now, almost 17 years into HR, there's never been a dull day. I worked as factory HR, moved to corporate HR with packaged consumer goods. Early in my career, organization development was fascinating to me. You know, like the whole engagement, motivation, performance measurement piece and the whole process through which organizations identify talent, develop it. So I grew up to be a talent and OD head, but, you know, I've always been a curious learner. After working in OD, I realized there are more roles in HR, like the business HR role, where you directly get to implement these practices and impact business KPIs. So I moved into business HR role, then transitioned into transformation roles, which were at the boundary of business and HR. So they were neither pure play HR, they were nor pure play business, but it was working with CEOs and strategy heads and end-to-end organizational transformation. Mm-hmm. And then that brought me into a mid-career experience that I chose for myself, thanks to my family. So, you know, I was working all this while in India in global leadership roles. And then I decided one fine day that I want to come to MIT Sloan to do their famous Sloan Fellows Leadership Program, which actually prepares you for global innovation and leadership. And that brought me to my current role in Schneider Electric, where for the last 3.5 years, I have I've been leading the digital HR transformation and being part of some amazing HR initiative at Schneider.
Wow, what a journey. I love asking that question because it's never the same answer, right? Who would have thought that a chemist would end up becoming the global head of people analytics and digital HR innovation? So love the journey, love the experience. And obviously you have a clear hunger for your own personal development and challenging yourself. To grow and develop as well, which is fitting given your role and what you do as well. Before we sort of jump into the meat of the episode and of today, you know, obviously everyone, future of work seems to be a big buzzword, right? We hear it all the time as well. When you think of the future of work, what does that mean to you?
And that's a very contextual question, Chris. Thank you for asking that, because really everybody is defining the future of work from their own angles. But, you know, the first Future of Work book was written by Thomas Malone, again from MIT, in 1978 or sometime around that. So I want to share two perspectives of it. One is that the future is always evolving, right? The way forces around business are influencing business models to change. That's not new phenomena. The new phenomena is that digital has accelerated that pace of change. Digital models have changed the way consumers are consuming, buying, searching for information around products. And that's forcing companies to reorganize their business model around customer segments at a very fast pace. If COVID-19 has added anything to this mix, it's like the pace of change is phenomenal. Some segments for our business, for each business, will disappear simply. This year they will disappear and probably something else will emerge. So this fast pace, which COVID-19 did just in 2020, actually digital forces were already tightening around businesses. And in that context, organization has to reorganize the flow of work, the flow of information, the flow of data, the way it does business or the way work happens. To me, future of work is really understanding how your business is going to respond in response to that, how the way your teams and organization will work will change. And then the last part is to enable that change. What kind of tool, technologies, policies, practices we will have to bring into place to enable that future. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a three-layered thing. But yeah, some people talk straight about how AI automation and robotics is accelerating the way we will work, where we will work, and the skills we will need to work. So,
well, on the flip side of that, you kind of already touched upon it. You know, part of your role is digital HR transformation, innovation. What does that mean in terms of your day-to-day work? How do you build it? How are you building it into the systems and processes within your own business?
It is a part discovery, part operational, part collaboration, I would say. So discovery is that in this role, we have to continuously engage with the business leaders inside and the HR business leaders to understand how the demand on them is changing, how they are seeing the workforce evolve, the needs of the workforce evolve. Like supply chain is already going digital. And sales is reaching behind. Marketing has digitized even before supply chain. Yeah. How digital can HR be? So even within the same business, the different pockets, functions, entities, businesses are trying to digitize at different pace. So discovery within an organization so that we are current with the strategic needs. And then also connected to the outside forces, right? These digital forces. What are the capabilities they are bringing? What is the hype cycle versus what is the value and impact that we can get now? And then there's a second piece of operational work. So, you know, we are in 2020 and organizations like Schneider Electric is already having tremendous digital capability. You know, so we already have tools and technologies within HR that we're using. So operational part is how do we optimize the employee experience through those technology? What can we simplify? What can we standardize? Where can we create more value and free up the time for our HR leaders, free up the time for managers and employees so that they can innovate? So discovery part, operational part, and third part is the, you know, the alignment with the overall people strategy. You know, that's how our work is. You take all these three together and create a digital HR transformation plan. A few pieces of the plan could be comprehensive, like employee experience. It cuts across HR capabilities. And few plans could be deeper into capability, like learning capability evolution or talent digitization or TA transformation.
Could you share some examples of how you're sort of enabling the future of work within the business? What are some of the digital HR programs that you're passionate about that stand out to you that you've delivered so far?
The few that I loved was the time when we defined the learning experience 2020, first in 16, and then the open talent market that is leading the talent digitization at Schneider, and the employee experience program that the future employee experience vision for Schneider that we laid out. So I can talk about any of these though.
Let's start with the first one. Work our way through. Because I know you've already told me before, but I'm interested in sharing it with everyone else as well. So go through them one by one. Let's go through them one by one.
So learning experience, and this was the first one that we took to trying to do a digital transformation in a new way. Because before this, what we were used to doing in the learning capability was we had a global LMS, Cornerstone, and then we would just continue optimize that. And then in a company like Schneider, we have a big learning team, and learning for today and tomorrow is very critical for us, people strategy for us. It's a critical transformation pillar. So people were continuously, the leaders in learning were continuously bringing innovation and technology, the new shiny object. Yeah. So that was creating a landscape of digital learning where we had too many things, and their budget is always limited and focused, because you want to be very clear which capability in learning, even within learning, that you want to invest in. With a couple of learning leaders, learning innovation, learning excellence, learning academy lead, we formed a team together under our CLO. And then we started looking at learning experience of the future. You know, so we met our business leaders, we did industry benchmarking, some people who were ahead of us. And then we also looked internally from our learners, and we defined what's a future learning experience. So learners were saying that give us something like Google search, where I can do federated search of any content that I need to know. So for example, a salesperson said, if I'm going to pitch to a data center business, let's say called EMC, can I just search and find out the content in EMC, a knowledge doc, a marketing doc, as well as learning doc, plus somebody who had done sales coaching around that, and a coach and an expert. So said like that. So when we define learning experience, we didn't define in terms of what technology we need. We define exactly like this. What are the learner stories of the future, which will help learner, you know, learn faster, and which will help them impact business at a positive pace. And then after defining that experience and vision for the future, we went at the needed learning capability to enable that vision. So the needed capability was awesome cool content, a federation of content, being able to search a common ontology across not just learning content, learning, marketing, all kind of knowledge documentation within Schneider, a common ontology, and how can we make it search. So a content and then an experience platform, a federated search and ontology, and then some modalities like, you know, virtual reality and augmented learning, adaptive learning. How do we put it together? What do we get first? Where do we put our effort first on? So we created a learning ecosystem for the future. And then we laid out a roadmap that what we will do in 17, 18, 19, and 20 so that we can reach there. From that emerged our digital action plans. So what are we going to influence our big LMS partner on developing? Because if they can develop all of it, wonderful.
Oh.
That's not possible, but that dichotomy exists in most of our tech innovation, Chris. You know, you have this big player that is in-house. So how do you partner with them to optimize their roadmap? It's a win-win for both, because through you, they will learn what's coming in the market ahead. And if they can partner, then, you know, at least half of your needs can get, in this case, our partner Constone really rose up to the occasion and delivered. You know, they actually launched LXP. And one of the anecdotal things we talk about in this one is we said Netflix learner experience. One other piece was Netflix for the learners, you know, a Netflix menu where so Chris is on his learning experience platform and he can see what's recommended, what's highly viewed. If Chris is an AI expert or a digital marketing expert, what are people like him reading? And then Josh Burson came out with his article. So we're a little ahead of him.
It's funny because the first thing I'm noticing from what you're saying is the very clear and obvious thing is that people want that same learning experience that they have outside of the organization inside. Whether it's a Google search, whether it's the Netflix experience, whether it's mobile on demand, it seems very obvious almost that's what people want. But so many organizations still don't offer that same experience inside the workplace.
And the challenge is, Chris, I think most digital learning people that I have met over a course of period, they understand this. But the challenge is that if you want to move toward a pull-based learning, pull means learners are pulling the content, right? It will influence learning teams within organization to also relook at their operating models. A great transformation will not just come because you brought some good tool and created an ecosystem. It also means relooking at your operating model and reinventing them. And sometimes we do get stuck there because, you know, we are so comfortable, let's say, having an academy kind of model, where we are creating content, marketing the offers, and pushing it out. So finding the balance between push and pull is a gradual evolution, and it won't happen overnight. So even for us at Schneider, it was a gradual evolution. We all learned together that, you know, how it can happen. So that's a part of the transformation, which is very, very enriching.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
That, the whole model ultimately transforms our future.
What is the biggest learnings that you took away from going through that process over the last few years? Is anything you'd have done differently? You know, what went well, what didn't? What do you feel you could have done better?
So I had two more examples, but let's say across all examples that I shared with you, you know, be it learning experience or open talent market or robotic transformation or people analytics transformation, across all, right? Any digital transformation that you pick up, the learnings are collective intelligence. In a federated global organization like Schneider, you can't go alone. You have to build the right team. And not just internal team, even your external partners, your product partners, and depend on collective intelligence. That's the first and foremost. Second thing is the speed of change. You know, like sometimes people like us who are forward looking, who are discovering the future, who are trying to bring digital, we are a little more impatient, I would say, in terms of, or very enthusiastic, right? We know we can see it and we know this is the right thing to do, but organizations, for various reasons, would want to move at a certain pace. So how do you step back after bringing innovation for allowing innovation to grow at its own pace is the second big learning. Third thing is collaboration, right? There is no substitute for collaborating across all stages, the time you're defining the learner experience to the time you're bringing the solution, don't just stop there. So many people probably are now partnering at this defining the experience and then bringing the solution. But the real test actually happens when the solution is launched and hand-holding that innovation
to become
a systemic integration organization is for those three pieces, Chris.
It's actually pretty easy to get the software, launch it, that's the easy part. The strategy is the easy part. And the execution and embedding it and making it part of the culture is really tough. So the work begins as soon as you press launch, the real work begins from there. Let's jump into the open talent market piece, because I think that's some very innovative work that you've done there, very disruptive. And I'd love to share that with everyone.
Indeed, open talent market is something we're all very proud about at Schneider. And just like learning experience, it's a work which has just started, as you said, Chris. But I can share the journey so far with you. And it's been very, very interesting and a great learning experience for us. So how did it start? We were looking at building the roadmap for career development, talent development. We were exploring the various aspects like, what does it mean for an employee to have these opportunities? At the same time, we were looking in the market on what some other people have done in this space. And this is where cutting across silos becomes very handy, because within HR, we have separate processes. There is a process for internal mobility in companies. When you have to move internally in HR, there's a process, there's a vertical which owns internal mobility. There's a vertical which owns career development. There's a vertical within learning which owns mentoring. And the verticals which own flexible projects is emerging and it sits in various pockets and various different organizations. So our mandate, being a digital transformation team, our mandate was on three different things: internal mobility digitization, looking at something for mentoring, looking at something for projects, and looking at something for career development. So four different mandates, and we were exploring. And at the same time, we were looking at what's happening in the market. And in this case, market brought a very beautiful insight to us. And we looked at Glowth, the current partner with whom we are working. We looked at some other players, which is not fair to name them because we didn't choose to work with them. But they were trying to develop this from from various different angles. And we chose one of them. But even before we chose anybody, we went back and talked to our HR leadership team, saying that instead of talking from four different perspectives, can we merge them? Because, you know, we see here artificial intelligence as an opportunity to do something very disruptive. The same AI can recommend in the area that he's interested in. The same AI can recommend Chris a job opportunity that he could be interested in. And the same AI algorithm should actually recommend him, because that algorithm is now learning a lot about him, should recommend him the next project that he can take if he wants to build his muscles in analytics. He can take some people analytics projects. So it makes tremendous sense to be able to do all this at one place. So as a digital HR leader, it was a tough space for you to work, because generally you were expected to provide four different solutions in a politically correct way. And here you are coming back and, you know, you're kind of nudging to have a merged solution, to look beyond processes as in an empire-centric way, because there was future opportunity. But our talent HR leader, they came on board quickly. One of our talent SVP, she became sponsor for this. And then a few more senior HR leaders joined the thought process. It took us 1.5 years to evolve this thought, policy, and process around it. And this was really important, Chris, because, you know, through multiple internal debate, dialogue, and discussion, we understood why it was important for us to have a cohesive, a coherent marketplace with all these opportunities. What will happen to our policy around internal mobility if, as a manager, Chris can offer Manisha a role quickly, then what would my recruiters do? All these changes we debated, and we looked at what impact it will have on our culture, how open we want to keep it. And that's why that word open talent market, open is really a choice we have made. And that's why we put it first. Saying this market is really open means there's no barrier. Anybody can apply to any opportunity. And if you're applying, you will. Hiring managers can instantly revert to you. There'll always be a good feedback for you. Means feedback which is constructive, which you can use. And if there's a feedback in terms of skill, there will always be development input. So we closed that. We got mandate to create this. We did a proof of concept, because, you know, AI is also a double-edged sword, Chris. And this was our first comprehensive AI that we were bringing in. And this is where Gloat is very cool, because the employees can influence this algorithm a lot. And that's why we chose it.
So who's the company again, Manisha? Gloat, is that the name?
Gloat, yeah.
Okay.
So we met some other very good AI players in the same space, but a lot of them had AI as a black box, or AI which HR administrators could influence, but not employees. But this one platform was where employees could influence. Mm-hmm. So as an employee, Chris can go and change his profile anytime. So his profile is not coming from HR system. Chris can say, okay, I am in marketing today, but I plan to go to HR. So he can go and change algorithm and say, I'm looking for very different experience than what I am today. And here are the skills that I'm looking to experience. Or, you know, it can be other person who will say, I'm in HR, I'm looking for experiences only in HR. So some of these capabilities we looked at, we evaluated the bias or fairness in the AI, and we did all that through multiple use cases and UAT before partnering. And in both cases, in learning or this product, these both product teams that we adopted, so in learning, we partnered with EdCast for LXP, and both these teams we adopted as our product teams. So they got to learn a lot from our knowledge of the HR process and how this whole marketplace will evolve. And for us, the benefit was it was almost like having your own product team creating the features.
I've got so many questions going through my head right now, but how do you, if I can update my profile as an employee, it's fantastic, obviously, because you put it in my hands and I feel empowered to take charge of my own learning, right? And opportunities. But how do you validate if someone, you know, if I update myself to have these particular skills and I apply for that job, how do you validate that that person actually has those skills? Can it be overwhelming when you get too many people apply for a job that perhaps isn't a right fit for them from a skills perspective? Just out of curiosity, what does that look like?
So this validation question came a lot, Chris, when we were trying to say, should we keep the market open or we give the validation in between to HR or recruiters before it goes to hiring managers? Mm-hmm. And we decided against all that. We said we will really work with open till we learn the other way, you know. And this is where I kept you shared with you earlier that we might learn something. So far, the open market is working very well. And the algorithm pushes top 10 to you. If you're the hiring manager, it will give you the top 10 combination. And we are continuously monitoring that top 10. But we're trusting employees.
I'm glad you just said that, because that's what I was thinking. It's putting the trust in the employees.
Yeah. Trusting the employees and the hiring managers to do the best. And all we are doing is we are enabling lots of transparency and skilling of both parties to make use of it to the fullest.
And I bet a big part of it is you've also now, you have an incredible visibility of the skills that exist in your work, in the workplace. Because before, you know, you have a CV on your HR system that may be 3, 4, 5 years out of date.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas now you have up to date. People have obviously developed new skills since they've joined a business, right? So now you have updated and access to, you know, look at the business and see what skills do we have, what skill gaps do we have, as well. Is that something that you've found very useful?
That's a powerful insight that you just shared, Chris, that you're right. The resumes or the profiles in HR systems were very old and archaic. We have great retention at Schneider. We're really good people company. So our employees are there for a long time. So
I know it.
having relevant skill or competency set was always difficult. But a platform like this really excites employees and creates a reason in them to go ahead and update and just see, right? Because this is also anonymous. By open means, it's just open to employees and managers only when a deal is made. Like, you know, we signed a deal to do project or to get hired, that it becomes transparent to others. So an employer and hiring manager is really using it. And this is the reason. So we were going step by step. We were launching country by country, function by function, so that we can support and cater to that country's culture and function's culture. But in the current COVID-19 situation, while we are slowing down some of our transformations, we accelerated the open talent market. And we just went global because some pockets of our organizations might have less workload. Some pockets might have more workload. And here is a platform where brokering can happen and people can make use of these opportunities to learn new skills, and organization gets an inventory of skills that it can use.
Yeah. Well, talking about the workplace of the future, that's the kind of workplace that you need when you'll be able to focus on project-based and then have a way to have visibility of the skills that exist and then allocate the right talent to those and be agile. So it's really, really exciting. What's been your biggest takeaway so far from the feedback from the employees and the other stakeholders in the business?
The feedback has been very positive, Chris. I think if everybody is feeling excited around it, like you said, this is a platform to even test Schneider that, you know, the future of work is fluid workforce. Mm-hmm. But from the current siloed functional structure as big organizations, how do we jump to network of teams? So agile is one way. But then this platform and having a project-based culture is creating excitement among everybody. Business leaders are very excited to see the productivity hours unleashed by people, doing a project. And most of the project satisfaction are rated 4, 4.5, or 5 out of 5. So the quality of delivery has been very good. And employees are super excited in terms of seeing this as an opportunity to learn new skills, to find mentors, to find new jobs in Schneider. One of our anecdotal story was, which we used to use when we were searching for this design, was that some employees in Schneider had to go on LinkedIn and look at opportunity in US for something. I think this person was
to find out about it on LinkedIn.
Yeah, they went and saw Schneider opportunity on LinkedIn, and then they saw the hiring manager or recruiter, and then they came in Schneider email and reached back to that person. And finally, this person was hired from Paris and moved to Boston. So now those stories are not in, like, now all those people are seeing the opportunity inside. We're all learning. You know, we never thought projects would pick up at the pace it has picked up. Mentoring is doing well, but we would love it to do more. Mm-hmm. I guess one of the senior leaders who volunteered to be a mentor to five people, he told me hey, I was very excited to mentor five, but only three people turned up. So where did the other two go? So, you know, people are kind of clicking yes, and then they are developing cold feet. So we contacted these other two people just to learn. Everything is curiosity, okay? No reprimanding to other people that, hey, we just developed, you know, we weren't sure that this SVP was really going to mentor.
Yeah, but this is the beauty and part of the process, right? As you said, you know, and you've trusted them and put it out there, and you're learning from the feedback rather than sitting there and trying to think of every single outcome and scenario. Put it out there into the hands of the employees, trust them, and then learn and develop from there, which is fantastic.
We're continuously looking at the matrix as well, Chris, to see are the job matchings happening? Are the projects moving? Yeah. Are the quality of projects good? Is everybody, let's say Manisha's applied 5 times, she hasn't found a match. What's happening with Manisha? You know, why is the algorithm not working? Has she not updated her profile properly? Why is she not able to find match? So we're looking at lead and lag, all indicators, to ensure that the intention with which we've started this talent marketplace is really moving forward.
What about the talk about the PEEP analytics transformation that you're working on? Because I know something right now which is more specific that you're looking at and reassessing.
So people analytics program in Schneider is also like 5-6 year old. We already have a comprehensive people analytics program, a very big team of global experts who are people data scientists. My mandate was really to look at the digital capability in people analytics. And you know, how can we transform it to have a more higher user adoption? If I have to simply put one matrix, the adoption rate of our current analytics product is suffering because partly it could be attributed to data literacy, but partly it's also about technology and the current platform and its performance. So that was the mandate.
When you say adoption, what do you mean by adoption? Is it adoption of the senior executives in the business?
So we have 2,500 HR users, right? And we have like 2,000 plus reports in our analytics portal, people analytics portal, and 184 plus dashboards. So by adoption, I mean how many of those HR users, when they need to look at numbers, are coming and using these reports.
Okay. Okay.
And when they are using it, do they still need to invest some hours from their side, or they can just pick it up and use it? We do listening surveys every quarter. And we found out that 78% of our HR people still invest a lot of time in data gathering, data validation, and repurposing those reports for their use. So that was a good feedback for us, right? And then our data scientists also felt that the data is organized in a very complex way, and you know, they just need better access. So in that context, I landed in people analytics, and I was looking at, this was last May, whenever I land a capability portfolio, I call this as a capability, I divide it into two pieces. One is fix the foundation, you know, something that is pinching my shoe now and needs to be done now. So that's fix the foundation, the operational piece, and then shape the future. Because you know, it's very easy to get sucked up into fixing the foundation. And by fixing the foundation, you can't achieve that 50, 60, 80% adoption that you're talking about. So how do you shape the future? So in those two buckets, we started operating in fixing the foundation. We looked at all the pain points from infrastructure to platform to ETL, all technical terms, Chris. How do we load data? How do we transform data? How do we present data? How do we create visualization models? So that piece. And then second piece was in shaping the future. We looked at, so we have currently Oracle Analytics Suite. So we, one strategy was to look at the current big player, like Toggle Learning, what more can they do for us? So Oracle is moving to Oracle Analytics Cloud, OAC. Mm-hmm. So doing a POC with them and trying to see whether that platform has you know, much better user experience capability and the futuristic capability of self-service, AI, machine learning models that we're looking at. And then at the same time, looking in the market to say, what is the thought leader emerging? You know, and can we do a small POC with them also so that we have a comparison to see where the life of our end user is simplified, both our end user and data scientists. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing a POC with ThoughtSpot as well.
With who, sorry?
ThoughtSpot.
So that's ongoing right now as we speak.
We are designing it to be launched in July 1st week. So we did the proof of concept last 6 months, and now we're preparing for the pilot launch.
Wow, very interesting. I know a big passion of yours, as you put on your LinkedIn profile, is around obviously robotics, AI. Have you had a chance to adopt? Obviously, I know AI in the current work we just spoke to, but when you think about robotics, automation for HR strategy, how do you start that conversation and developing concepts about executing it within the business?
So yes, last year in Schneider was a big transformation year. I think last 2 years where we developed our robotics strategy in HR. And by now we also have lots of bots which are functioning very well. And now it's time for us to evolve part two of our robotics strategy. It is very interesting, Chris, because it is bringing the future of work angle, right? Like yeah. The future of work is a concept which will not just happen by itself. It's through these interesting, sometimes disruptive pilots and programs that you will start bringing it step by step. And then there will be a point where you can press accelerate and gain maximum value out of it. So we started robotics also as a concept. And we're fortunate because Schneider itself is an organization which is into accelerated mode for digital transformation. It created a robotic center for excellence. And this is what I meant by collective intelligence. So we were in HR, but we partnered with our enterprise robotics team and learned everything from the beginning and kind of forge a partnership, what platforms they're choosing, what's the working or operating model for developers, and how do we evaluate our use cases, how do we bring it together, how do we set up a governance. And then through that, we created an HR RPA governance and operating model. And then we connected with our region. So I'm in a global role, and we connected to regional HR leaders, HR service leaders globally. And we shared with them what we're doing in terms of RPA, what outside world is doing, where are the opportunities. They were also very excited and already waiting with their use cases.
What were some of the exciting use cases and pilots that you either launching or you plan to launch?
So robotics is an opportunity, right now being used at first stage to automate whatever is repetitive or manually intensive processes, right? So that it can free up the HR person's time to invest in more facilitative or consulting role that is emerging in the new context. We looked at, let's say, learning capability. In each capability, there are some of those roles. Sometimes it's just a handshake between systems. So for example, we have a global human capital management system in HCM where we store all employees' data. And then our North America HR team has 10 or 12 local systems. So let's say if Chris is an employee, his half the data is in HCM. Yeah. And then if I have to pay him benefit, taxes, retirals, all those are in local systems. So Chris's data has to move to and fro between the systems, from this global system to these 10 local systems, and then the updates have to move back to global system. So sometimes those interfaces were manual, or they needed multiple handshake, which was leading to lack of accuracy or errors or more time. And those interfaces, if you automate them through bots, the bot is typically updating, is keying in Chris's data from one system to another back and forth without any manual intervention. So that was one of the very good use cases which we tested in one geography. Then we shared in our global governance committee with all other regions, and they all got excited.
I'm sure the HR team was very excited about that.
none of these initiatives, in all of these, we have to co-lead, right? Like there are HR leaders who own the use case, who can define the use case very clearly. And then we have a robotics team which will help them map the process design before the bot. And then we have to develop the bot, then test it, then see the effectiveness of the bot. Is it happening in the 98% of the cases? Is it happening accurately? And then it makes sense. Some other use cases are historic session update in other system and things like that. So we're still on that stage of, system related repetitive work update.
Amazing. Before we wrap up, you've already mentioned a few, but what are some of the other pitfalls for other leaders that are going to be on a similar journey, organizations like yourselves? What are some of the pitfalls that they should avoid, hopefully, along the way? And then sort of what's your parting piece of advice to your peers?
I think before I go to pitfalls, just one line of enthusiasm that this is a great time to be in digital HR transformation role, because there's so much value addition that we can do and impact that we can create. It's phenomenal. It's very exciting. Now, the pitfalls could be that, you know, we are forward-looking, futuristic people. Don't get lost in the future. Always be bound to current. Yeah. and build a vision statement, like build a statement and be able to share this in terms of slide writing, speaking, so that whatever you are seeing, you're able to show it to others, to excite them, to bring them on board. Yeah. And then through that sharing of vision, create a sponsorship. Having a sponsorship at the top of HR leadership is very critical for success of anything. And that sponsorship only comes when you're solving for a real business problem. So never start with a technology in mind or digital in mind. Always start with some really important problem for your business to solve today. And then lastly, never go alone. Slow down if you must, but build a collective team from across organizational silos and go together. And lastly, treat your vendor partners as truly one coherent team, as product partnership. It has given us some amazing results. You know, there's tremendous opportunity for both parties to get from that.
Mm-hmm. What amazing advice, by the way. And what about personally? What did you because I'm sure it wasn't easy going through this, and we always talk about it from a business context. What have you learned about yourself as a leader personally going through this process?
Personally, it is, you know, it's always a learning journey, Chris. So same thing for me as well. Number one thing is to balance between enthusiasm, energy, and pace of organization. That's number one. Second is influence and impact. How no matter how powerful your idea is, it will be only as much impactful as your ability to influence. Third thing is, even though in digital you would think that I have the future of work knowledge, I'm futurist, I can think about it and I can see things ahead of time, never forget relationships is always first. It's relationships. And then through those relationships, you can influence all the cool thought that you have. So those three will be my top three.
But thank you so much for taking the time out to join us. Really excited to have you on the show, and so many exciting things that you guys are doing. So I look forward to following the work that you're doing at Schneider Electric as well. You guys are definitely ahead of the game from speaking with a lot of your peers and other companies out there. So it's great to hear.
Thank you for having me, Chris. We have a great HR leadership team, and I think a great great leadership vision and people vision. I'd just like to say we at Schneider truly believe great people make Schneider a great company, and anything that we do in HR is to support that vision.
Amazing. Well, I'll see you again soon, right? Because Manisha is also going to be joining us for the People Analytics virtual summit that we're going to be doing in next month. So if you guys are not already registered for that, you can head over to our website, hrdleaders.com. You'll be able to see the registration for the summit there if you want to join us. We have over 2,000 now, Manisha, People Analytics executives signed up. So no pressure.
Very excited. And I've seen the list of other speakers that you've put together, Chris. Very excited to learn and share. Looking Amazing. Forward to it.
We obviously couldn't do it without you guys, so we really appreciate it, and all of your support that you've given us as well. So apart from that, everyone listening on LinkedIn, thank you for tuning in and joining us today. If, as I said, if you're not already signed, if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, you can also do so on our website as well. Subscribe via your favorite platform. Apart from that, enjoy the rest of your day, Manisha, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Okay, see ya.
Thank you, Jason, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.